Amen. This sort of bothered me last week. I don't like anything on the stage bigger than I am. So, amen. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 19. And if you'll remember about, probably 8 or 9 months ago, I felt like I was supposed to speak to you and teach on the Holy Spirit. And so we started in the book of John, about 14, and we preached on up through some of the books of Acts. And I thought when I got to Acts 2, I would stop. And I felt like the Lord said, no, keep going. And so I really wanted to get to this story of Acts chapter 19. And so I titled this sermon, Did You Receive the Holy Spirit When You Believed? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Acts chapter 19. Let me also welcome all of you that are here today. It's so good to see you. Good to have the Earps with us. They haven't been here for a long time and been in a going to another body of believers, and we appreciate that. And but good to have you today. Acts chapter 19. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, some of your versions would say believers, finding some disciples, he said to them, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, We've not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, Into what then were you baptized? And they said, Into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. Amen. We're going to pray over this scripture, but also we're going to pray over the fires in California. So let's pray about that. Father God, we just come before you today, and I'm so thankful. Lord, I love that song when we can speak the name of Jesus. I love the fact that you, in that song, encourage us to speak the name of Jesus over our family. Father, we do speak your mighty name, Lord. There's nothing like the name of Christ. You humbled yourself, stepped out of heaven, and died for us on that cross. Come out of that grave, God. We're so thankful. And the one that was humbled, God exalted above all others. And so, Father, we know there is no name like the name of Jesus. Father, we pray in the name of Christ that you would have your perfect will and your perfect way here today. I pray, Father, I know your word is anointed. I pray the speaker will be anointed. And I pray the hearers, Lord, would be anointed to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. No one really cares what a man has to say, but we all care what you have to say. So, Lord, I just yield myself to you. I am only a conduit. So, Father, use me. God, bring things out of me that I may not even know was in there. So, Lord, I thank you for that. Father, together in agreement, we pray for people in California today that are experiencing maybe one of the worst times of their life, God, maybe having lost everything, Lord, and some even the loss of life. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, for their safety and their well-being. I pray for salvation. I pray in their desperation that they would look to Christ. Father, turn their eyes to you, Lord Jesus. Father, I know, Lord, that you are able, Father, to give rain. You're able to tell the storm to still, so you're able to control the weather. And I pray, Father, Lord, for a mighty rainstorm to come out of nowhere, Lord, and begin to help them contain this fire. God, I pray, Lord, that if there is wind, that the wind would turn that fire back on itself. And Lord, we know that the safest place in a fire is where the fire has already been. So God, I pray, Lord, turn that fire back to itself, Lord, to where it's already consumed, God. And I pray, Lord, that it would go out for the lack of anything to burn. Father, it's beyond man's control. It seems apparent. So, Lord, it's still in your control. And I pray, God, right now, Lord, we beseech the throne of grace. And we ask, Lord, for your help in this storm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 I love this question that Paul asked these believers. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, we have not as much as heard of the Holy Spirit. And I think that that's often the way it is today, that people are like, what are you talking about? I've not heard of a Holy Spirit. Robert Morris, I know he's had a lot of bad press lately, but he wrote a pretty good book years ago, and he said about the God that I never knew, the God that I did not know. And he grew up in church, but he was never taught about the Holy Spirit. You know, one thing about the book of Acts, we call it the early church, right? The first church. You have to recognize that the early church was a spirit-filled church. That everywhere they went, they were laying hands on them and they were being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you wonder, what's the difference between church now and church back then? I believe it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul investigates and he said, well, what baptism have you been baptized? And they said, John's baptism. So there's some difference in the comments. The commentators, some would say, well, they're really not saved. Most people believe that they were saved because they had come up under John who preached salvation. And so, but I think just the way the commentators think there was a question, so did Paul. So Paul said, well, let's just do this once and for all. Let's get it done, right? So he told them about Jesus, the Messiah. And John was teaching that there's a Messiah coming, and I think Paul said the Messiah has come and lived and died and rose again. Now you need to accept the Messiah as your Savior. And it says they were baptized one more time in the name of Jesus, or in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. However you want, Jesus told us to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What is the name? The name is Jesus. So either way, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And so when they come up, now many versions will say then. So after they were baptized in the name of Jesus, then Paul laid his hands on them. Seems like a separate act, and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And they were baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Now, salvation begins with the Holy Spirit coming in you, right? If you are saved, the Holy Spirit is in you. There's four common reactions to the teachings about Jesus Christ, or about the Holy Spirit, and they're still around today. One is they deny him. In other words, they would say, well, that ended with the disciples. That ended with the apostles. You'll not find that in Scripture, but if you can't believe, then that's a pretty good thing to come up with. Well, that stopped. I tell you, why would you stop something that's working so well? Right? God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Some will demonize the Holy Spirit and say, well, that's just man. No, it's not man. I promise you, it's not man. Three is they don't acknowledge him. They said, I got everything I needed when I got saved. You did get everything you need when you got saved to make it to heaven, right? The baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is not a salvation issue. Did you hear me? Okay. If you have asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and you've asked and he is Lord of your life, you are born again. You are going to heaven. And the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit will be there. When the Holy Spirit is in your life, you should have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, self-control. Jesus, we need help with that one. So those fruit are with you because the Holy Spirit is in you. But the gifts are not there. because you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so that the gifts will come. That's prophecy and the working of miracles and the gift of healing, the gift of tongues and stuff. So there's one verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that sort of slips people up. And it says, when the perfect one is come, these things will be done away with. And people think the perfect one is the Word of God. It's not. It's Jesus Christ himself. And so when Jesus Christ himself comes back, we go home with him. We don't have to speak in tongues. We don't need a word of knowledge. We need a word of wisdom. We'll be in glory. And so to prove that, it says knowledge will cease. Well, has knowledge ceased? Well, for some it has. Knowledge is increasing exponentially. More and more, I mean, the knowledge is really growing in this day. It's growing. So that verse is not talking about the absence of the Spirit of God because the Word of God is here. And the fourth thing is you can be devoted to Him. Now, one would think this, that in a Pentecostal church, in a church of charismatic, whatever you want to call us, I'm not really for sure what to call us either. Can we just, you know, with all my heart, what I wanted to call this church is church. That's what I wanted. I really did. Treva said, you can't do that. Church. I wish sometimes we could just drop the names, don't you? Amen. You know, I really have this belief that if we would just come together in unity, we will grow in the Lord, because every one of us has truth that we need to bring all that truth together. We, the Assemblies of God, Pentecost, we are not the corner of the market. It's called Pentecost because it happened on the day of the feast of Pentecost. It's not about a group of people. It's about the gift of the Holy Spirit, okay? At salvation, we receive the Holy Spirit, but not necessarily the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe that's two separate acts. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, he says, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, this is what I want you to hear. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So you, when you gave your heart to Jesus, you have the Spirit of Christ. You are his. That's not speaking about the bath. Every time I preach on this, somebody will leave church and they'll say, well, that pastor said, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not going to heaven. I did not say that. I'm saying quite the opposite of that. You hear me? Don't, if you say that, I'm going to say they're lying. I've got it on tape this time. I literally have in yellow, make this statement. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, he says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? How can the fruit of the Spirit be in you unless the Spirit of God is producing that fruit, right? In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus told Nicodemus, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. If you are born again, the Spirit of God is in you. Well, what about the disciples? You know, disciples are a little bit confusing. Most people believe they were saved. They were not. They were not saved. They were like Old Testament saints. Jesus had not died. No one could be saved until Jesus paid the price, right? But in John chapter 14, verse 17, he tells them, It's before he gets arrested. He says, the Spirit of truth is coming. Who is that? It's the Holy Spirit. What's the number one job of the Holy Spirit? To teach us about Christ. To lead us to Christ. He says, the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. You know him, he says. Now listen to these next couple of words. For he dwells with you. A lot of people think, well, the Holy Spirit come on the scene at the day of Pentecost. No, no. The Holy Spirit came on the scene at creation. Amen. Says he hovered among the earth. What was he doing? He's waiting for the command of God. God, give me a word and I'm going to bring it. I'm going to make it happen. Right? So it says the Holy Spirit was with you. Just like in the Old Testament saints, the Holy Spirit would come upon them and they would do something great for God. Right? But he was not in them. That's the difference in the old covenant and the new covenant. Today, the Holy Spirit is not on us, it's in us. That might not make a bean's worth of difference to you, but it should be. It should. Because the Holy Spirit then it's my internal guide. It's my GPS. Turn right. Okay. Yeah. Redirecting. How many has ever been redirected by the Holy Ghost? He says, for he dwells with you. Right now, the Holy Spirit, he's talking to his disciples. He said he dwells with you and, listen, will be in you. It hasn't happened yet, but it's fixing to happen, boys. The Holy Spirit's not just going to be with you, but in you. In John chapter 20, then verse 22, Jesus has died. He's rose from the dead and the disciples are scared to death. And they're hiding in a room. They're gathered together, hiding in a room, thinking they may be coming after us next. And all of a sudden, Jesus walks in the room. There was not an open door or an open window, but he didn't need an open door or an open window. He just walks in the room. And he comes in there, says, and when he said to them, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. He speaks to the disciples. It's not on you. I say it's in you. What is that? That is salvation. The disciples got saved in John chapter 20. They were basically Old Testament saints, but now Jesus had died. Now Jesus has rose from the grave, and now he comes to them and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And that the Holy Spirit came up on them, came in them, the inner presence of the Holy Spirit, and they were born again. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 says, and being assembled together with them, with the disciples, he commanded them, don't depart from Jerusalem. Okay, you saved folks, don't leave town without it. Because what I've called you to do, you cannot do by yourself. It's not by might or by power. He revealed that to the prophet Zechariah. But it's by the Spirit, says the Lord. He says he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me. And John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And they waited for 10 days. Let me tell you, some of you Old Testament or old Pentecostal folks, the tarrying days are over. They tarried. We don't have to. The Holy Spirit. They waited for the Holy Spirit, but he came and he is. He's here. So the tarrying days, I believe, are over. What happened to the disciples? They didn't leave town. They were gathered together in an upper room, 120 of them. Now we know that Jesus appeared to 500 people. you know, but 120 of them are in the upper room. And verse 8 of chapter 1, he tells them, but you will receive power. That word is dunamis. It's explosive. You're going to receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the world. Now, the dunamis is the power that we need, right? Now, we go out to street reach every month. We skip the winter months. And we can teach you how to do witnessing. It's not that big of an act. It's not that difficult. We can teach you to be a monkey that repeats these words. That's doing witnessing. Jesus didn't say the Holy Spirit was going to teach you to do witnessing. He said that you are going to be a witness. Your very being is going to witness Jesus Christ is alive and well and wants to touch your heart. I'm telling you, when a spirit-filled believer walks into the room, the climate and the attitude and the atmosphere of the room changes. Why? Because God just walked in all power and glory. In you. You are His voice. You are His hands. If only we will allow Him to use us. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, this is out of the NLT, says, on the day of Pentecost, on the feast of Pentecost, Pentecost 50 days after the Passover, all believers, 120 of them, were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. The town was filled, Jerusalem was filled because it was a feast, with people from all the regions that spoke different languages. And they began to hear their language, their home language, as they filled the city. And they realized it was coming from that room up there. And they thought, these men are drunk. And Peter answered them, remember? You remember? He said, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. We don't start drinking till 2. Right? No, we're not drunk on wine. We are drunk in the spirit, he might say. This is the Holy Ghost. Now, does the Lord still do that? He does, but not all prayer language is going to be another language. I've heard of it a few times, occasionally. I actually witnessed it one time in my life when I was maybe 14. We had this lady in our church that was raised in a different denomination, and she was raised in the military. Her father was in the military, so she traveled all over the world growing up. And so she was sitting there praying and saying, Lord, if this baptism of the Holy Spirit is really of you, prove it. Let me hear something that I know for a fact that is you. And all of a sudden, our pastor began to speak out in tongues, and he began to pray in Japanese. Now, our pastor could barely speak English at that time. He was not a wise man. He was yielded to the Holy Ghost. She had grown up for a few years in Japan, and she began to understand some of the words that he was praying. And he was praying for a little girl in Japan that was sick. And the Holy Spirit was using him to pray for this child on the other side of the earth. Still happens, folks. I'm telling you, today we downplay the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I sort of feel in myself, this is Eric, not Bible, but I sort of feel like this thing's going to wrap up the same way it started. That Jesus is going to have an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the latter days. That he's going to use men and women. Your old men will see dreams. Your young men will see something else. We'll have visions, right? God's going to pour his spirit out on all flesh is what he revealed to the prophet Joel. Say, Pastor, did that happen every time? Well, not every time it didn't. One time when Philip, remember Philip? In Acts chapter 6, they were having problems in the body of Christ. And they said, you're not treating all the widows together the same. And he said, well, we do not need to take time away from prayer and from ministry of the word to this is a real problem, but we don't need to address it, us, the apostles. He said, let's appoint 7 people full of the Holy Spirit, full of a good reputation. And so we don't know about all 7 of them, but we know about 2 of them. One was Stephen, right? Stephen preached his sermon. And he was the first martyr. They stoned him for standing up for Christ. The second one we know about is Philip. What happened to Philip? Philip goes down to Samaria, begins to preach the word of God. And it says the whole city came out and received Jesus as the Lord. The church in Jerusalem heard about it. The apostles heard about it. They sent Peter and John there so that they would anoint them and pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit. And it's exactly what happened. One person had got saved, Simon the sorcerer, and when he saw this, he said, I want to purchase that. Now, if I come over here and I lay my hands on Carol and I say, receive the Holy Spirit, hallelujah. Anybody want to buy that? No. Something had to happen. Now, we don't know exactly what happened because the word doesn't tell us. But I can tell you that dumb look that she just gave me, nobody wants. We get them all the time, preachers do. Nobody wants to buy. Something spiritually happened that made Simon a sorcerer who was used to witchcraft. He said, I've never seen something like that. That's greater than what I'm ad-libbing. I'm making this dialogue up. But it had to be going through Simon's mind. This has never happened. I've never seen anything like that. Let me tell you, Satan is a counterfeiter. He's not creative in any way. He tries to counterfeit what God has deemed original. So anyway, that's the one place I believe in scripture where it doesn't say that they spoke in tongues. The baptism of the Spirit is for all born-again believers. You don't have to grow up in a certain church. Just read your Bible. Nothing happens when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit that is beyond your control. Now, some of us have made it into some kind of circus act. We've done strange and amazing and peculiar things, but some of that has been in the flesh. God doesn't call you to walk like a chicken. That's the old Pentecostal walk. He doesn't cause you to bark like a dog. But you will hear this language that will come out of you. You know, we used to talk about how many bobby pins the old women would shake out of their head, right? They'd shake that head and the bobby pins would start flying. I grew up in all that. And I just want to say it doesn't make you any more spiritual. Because it ain't about you. It's about the Holy Spirit in you. I try my best not to call the Holy Spirit it. Because he's not it. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. And when you get born again, he's there. But there is a separate work of grace when you ask him to baptize you. If you're ever going through Walmart and you hear somebody on the other aisle saying, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, bless the Lord, oh my soul. She just got good news or he just got good news. That's probably a Pentecost. I'm serious. Why? Because there's something about the baptism of the Holy Spirit that releases this power and praise in you. that you love to worship. And when you hear of things happening, I've told you this story so many times. There was a, this is fake, I'm sure. There was an old farmer that would go to church and he loved to shout. And boy, he'd shout all the time. And the deacons got a hold of the pastor and they said, "You've got to talk to that old boy." Said, "He is messing up our services." Oh man, come on. Don't you know there's a lot of people that think the Holy Spirit messes up our services? No, the Holy Spirit is our service. He's what makes us. This old boy would, he began to shout. They said, "Pastor, you got to talk to him." So the pastor goes out to the guy's farm and the guy's out there with two old mules plowing his field. And he said, fella, "You got to quit all that shouting in the church." He said, "It's just an embarrassment to us." He said, "I know, Pastor." He said, "I apologize for that." He said, "But when I begin to think about the blessing of God, when I begin to think about these two old mules that have been so faithful to me, and all that God has, he blessed me with a good wife. He's blessed me with several children. Oh, Pastor, hold these reins. I'm getting ready to shout. Hallelujah." And see, that's what happens. The Holy Spirit begins to stir up inside of you. When we come into the house of God and we begin to lift up the name of Jesus, he said, "If you will lift me up, I will draw all men near." We begin to praise the Lord and we begin to sing songs like, "Oh, you know, we can speak the name of Jesus over our family." That excites me. That stirs my inner soul. And all of a sudden I feel the Holy Spirit begin to say, "Come on, baby, there's a shout inside of you." I'm going to tell you, the church of today does not need less of the Holy Ghost. We need more. We need the dunamis. We need the power. We need the fire. When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's some things that you've been doing that the Holy Spirit will say, "Okay, we ain't playing games now. There's some things we've been living with that is not right." And that fire of the Holy Spirit will begin to convict you on things that you used to do that he says that's not good anymore. But has it changed? No, but the Holy Spirit, the power is in you now. Folks, sometimes the church don't look much different than the world. And that's a shame. It's a danger. It's an indictment on the church. What's happening? The Spirit of God has been put in a corner. He's been identified as a group of people. It's not about a group of people. I'm telling you, there's Baptists all over the world that used to preach that the Holy Spirit has passed away that are now tongue talkers. Why? Because when a person gets serious with God and they open up their heart to God and they say, "Lord, I want everything you've got," you be careful. He's fixing to give it to you. When I was 7 years old, I recognized I was a sinner. And I come to the altar of the Lord and I prayed. And I didn't do like most of our people today, pray this little prayer and get up and go back and sit down. I just kept praying. You see, I was pretty much a broken little kid from a pretty bad upbringing. My mama was spirit-filled. I don't know if she was spirit-filled, actually. She was a believer. Dad was a drunk. So I got to see and witness two sides from a very early age. And I just kept praying. And as I was praying, all of a sudden, I wasn't praying in English anymore. Now, this is a seven-year-old kid that never heard a sermon on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Was never indoctrinated either way. But I'm telling you, I know what I experienced. A lot of people that will tell you that there is no baptism of the Holy Spirit or it's the same thing, they just not experienced it. Because when you experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and let me tell you, that's one of nine gifts. It's the one that we recognize, but it says they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. They laid their hands on people and they were recovered. It's not about them. It's about the Spirit of God in them. I hate that we make it all about speaking in tongues today. It's so much more. So what do? There's only a prerequisite for being baptized in the Holy Spirit. You must be born again. You must be born again. God does not fill people with the Holy Spirit until they're born again. And then you need to believe in faith and ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit. I'm not into tricks. You hear me? I'm not into tricks. I don't trick people to receive the Holy Spirit. I prayed for one guy. I've told you this story before, but he was very analytical. He tried to figure everything out. I thought, oh, you're going to have problems, buddy. You're going to have problems because you can't figure this one out. He woke up one day after we prayed for him to receive the Holy Spirit. He woke up one day by praying in tongues. I said, you are so hard-headed, God had to put you to sleep. I've heard people receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the speaking in tongues as he's driving down the road. I heard a man receiving in the shower. It doesn't always happen in the house of God. But if you yield yourself to him, what you need to do is relax. I promise you this, you cannot speak in English and in tongues at the same time. And there is an element of faith because you have to just speak it out. The best thing to do is don't seek the gift, seek the giver. Just seek the giver and worship. Just worship. And then at some point you'll have to stop and say, okay, Jesus, I think I'm ready. Some people will hear words or sounds beginning to form in the back of their mind. Most do not. If you do, that's wonderful. Just speak it out. But probably you're going to have to take a step of faith and just begin to speak out what you believe. I'll say this statement. I've never heard a sinner speak in tongues. And I say that because after you speak in tongues, the devil's going to tell you, you just made that up. But I didn't make it up when I was a sinner. Right? So you're going to have to take a step of faith. And just remember, there's nine gifts. There's prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Not everybody has that gift. Gift of wisdom. Not everybody has any one of these. Knowledge, supernatural faith, gift of healings, working of miracles, and discernment of spirits. But the one thing, there's different kinds of tongues in the Lord, in the scripture. I get most of this from 1 Corinthians 12, if you want to study this. So the tongues that he says we don't all receive are the tongues that have an interpretation with them. In Psalms 42, verse 1, as I was reading today, I was reading this psalm, and it says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you, O Lord. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? That's a prerequisite. How hungry are you? Are you hungry for everything the Lord has for you? And if you are, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, after you receive Christ, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the next step to the power, the fire. It's just about him. Just him. May he be lifted up. Treva, would you come? If you're here today and you say, that's for me, I want everything that Jesus has for me. We're going to pray for people today to receive the Holy Spirit. But we're not going to work you up. I've heard people saying, say hallelujah. Say it louder. Say it louder. And as soon as they trip, they'll say, oh, that's it. No, that's a trick. We don't need the tricks of man to do something spiritual. Let it be God. Because they'll come back. You'll come back to this many times. I go back to that time when I was 7 years old many, many times. Lord, I didn't even know what the Holy Spirit was. Never heard of tongues. But I know when I was 7 years old, you put something inside of me. I asked my mama one time. I said, Mom, I said, I'm not for sure if I'm doing this right. I said, but every time I go to the altar now, all I want to do is pray in tongues. She said, you stop that. That was ignorance. See, the Holy Spirit comes in you, gives you this gift, and you can pray in tongues anytime you want to. Matter of fact, oftentimes when I'm driving down the road, I'm praying in tongues. Some of you see me and wave at me, and I don't see you. Because I'm Shadda Mahanda. I'm just having me a time in the Lord, right? When I don't know how to pray, that's oftentimes, people come to me and say, will you pray for me? This is happening. It just happened this week. And I said, I don't know how to pray for that. But he does. So I yield myself to him. And I ask that he would pray through me. Folks, I've tried to stay as close to the Word of God as I could today. Told you a couple of stories, but most of this is all scripture. And I've been preaching this since, I don't know, middle of last year. Because I wanted to build it for you. I wanted you to see this is what Jesus prophesied was going to happen. The Spirit of truth is coming. Let me tell you, the Spirit of truth is here. I'm going to lead you in a prayer for salvation. So that if you pray this, you are born again. Then if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you come up here. We're going to worship. And then I'm going to lay my hands on you. I'm not going to push you. I'm not going to put words in your mouth. It's going to be a God thing. Okay? No? Well, that's the way we're doing it anyway. Father God, we just come before you today. And I thank you, Lord, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, I know that your Spirit comes in us at salvation. But I believe, Lord, you want to do more than that here today. But Father, if there's anyone under the sound of my voice that has not accepted you and repented of their sins, God, I want us to pray this together. Lord, forgive us of our sins. I ask that you would come into my heart. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew a right spirit in me. God, I want to follow you with all my heart. I want to be your servant. So I lay my will down for your will to take over my life. I commit my life to you. I declare that I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, who stepped out of heaven, came to earth, walked on this earth, died for my sins and rose from the grave. I believe it. And now I receive you as Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now if you prayed that with me, you are born again. Anyone, would you stand with me? We'll all worship together. I'd ask that you just be patient for a little while. We won't belabor the service. But if you are wanting to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I would that you would just step forward and come and line up in front of this pulpit. Hallelujah.
All the saints and angels. bow before your throne. All the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and see. Hallelujah. You're worthy of it all. Yes, you are, Lord. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
You're worthy of it all.
You're worthy of it all.
For from you are all things,
and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
All the saints and angels bow before your throne,
Jesus.
All the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and see.
Oh, we worship
you. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things,
and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all.
Yes, Jesus.
For from you are all things,
and to you are all things.
You deserve the glory. And I exalt thee.
Come on, come on. Let's lift up the name of Jesus.
Oh,
we worship you.
I exalt thee. Oh, Lord, we worship you.
I exalt thee.
Yes, Jesus.
I exalt thee.